Pastor Steve once said, and I've heard other guys say it too, that whenever you choose to preach on something, God will test you during the week. And like a dummy, I decided to preach on perseverance. So I have proved that to be very true. So this week has been a jewel, that's for sure. But we shall persevere. Okay, so character traits that Christians should possess. Number one is faithfulness. Christians should be faithful people. They should possess courage and naturally love. If we're representing God and he is love. Humility, generosity, integrity. You know, if you look at people claim they're a Christian and they're not integral, they don't have integrity, then you kind of think, well, what's going on? You know, are they really a Christian or are they just a work in progress? Another one, number seven is wisdom. Number eight is hope. Nine is compassion. 10 is teachability. And 11 is self-control. And that brings me to number 12, which is perseverance. The first 11 are evidences of Christian character. Perseverance creates character. Most Bibles use the word endurance or patient endurance, but I believe perseverance is a stronger word. Out of Hebrews 10, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. That's out of the NIV. Think of a quarterback running down the field with a football. And he's doing fine until all these big guys get in his way and they say, well, you're not coming this way. And he would have a lot easier time if it wasn't for them. I mean, he could just run down the field and take the ball wherever he wanted. But what would be the point? And that's the same in our Christian journey. We have three big guys that step into our way and try to derail us. The world, the flesh, and the devil. If they weren't there, it would be so much easier. But then again, what would be the point? You know, the Bible says in Revelation, it says several times, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. So, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is like a big flea market. You can have this, you can do that. You only go around once. So you need to get all the toys you can. Well, that's certainly out there. And, you know, what disturbs me sometimes is I get all these emails. This is the last day. You got to get up here and, you know, get your last day for our sale. So the world has everything they think we need. The flesh is hungry for the things of the world, and those things never satisfy. And it's not wrong to have stuff. You know, it's been preached in some circles, you know, you got to get rid of everything. Well, how can you help others if you don't have anything? It's just you don't worship the things of the world. And then there's the devil. He calls our hungry flesh to the things of the world, trying to get the attention off God, our provider. If we have God as our provider, we don't need to trust in worldly things or worldly ways to get things, because God will give us what we need. Our enemy is ruthless, trying to hold us back from fulfilling our God-given purpose. Some people have to persevere through tremendous trials. Keep in mind that Jesus is our model. He persevered even though he didn't deserve what he got. He said, "Follow me." I have a few people here to use as examples. One's Noah. You know, there's Noah out in the middle of the backside of the front side. I don't know. He was out there. It's like he's out there, and God said, "Build a boat. Build a very big boat." Gave him the measurements. And I'm sure Noah thought, "I'm standing in like a desert place and it's all dry and you want me to build a big boat? I don't even have an SUV with a trailer to get the boat to the lake, if there's a lake." So, but did you ever stop to think what Noah went through? I mean, where did he get the tools? Lowe's wasn't there yet. Where did he get the lumber and stuff? You know, it took 300 and some years to build the ark. And all the time there's these people saying, mocking him and everything else. Say, "Boy, that guy's off his rocker. Look what he's doing out there." And yet he persevered because God told him to. He was obedient. And we're all here today because of that. The next one is Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to go rebuild the wall around Jerusalem in spite of all the dangers, in spite of where he came from was a heathen king. And God turned that king's heart and said, "We'll go do what you have to do." And so he went out, and the typical desert experience, wild animals and this and that and the other thing, and it was a tremendous job to build that wall. And he did it and rallied people, and he organized everything and got it done. And there were people mocking him and the people trying to get him to stop. And you know the story. But he persevered and got the job done. King David was another one. Anointed king, running for his life in the desert because the guy that was king was trying to kill him all the time. And one trial after another, he had to leave the Ziklag, that one town, and when he came back, it was burned and everything was gone. His wife and all the animals and all that had been carried off. And then his own men tried to talk about stoning him. But he persevered through that, and he eventually became the king that he was destined to be. Another one is Paul. When Paul got saved miraculously on the Damascus Road and started his preaching circuit, he had what he called a messenger from Satan. He was trying to get rid of, and that was the spirit was stirring up riots and everything, no matter where he went to preach. Now you can imagine having in your heart to spread the gospel, and I mean, he was on fire for the Lord. He wanted to save the entire world, and everywhere he went and opened his mouth, and there was riots, and they tried to kill him several times, and you know the story there. And he was shipwrecked, and he was this and that, but he ended up being someone who wrote a lot of the New Testament from prison, but he persevered. And once again, where would we be if he wouldn't have persevered? Another one's more of a contemporary. I don't know if you've heard of a guy named David Ring. David Ring is an evangelist. David Ring was born with cerebral palsy. And he lost his parents early. He was one of, I think he said, 8 kids, and he was the youngest. And whenever his parents passed away, all but his one sister forsook him. So his sister would drag him to church. I don't know how old he was then. And he finally ended up getting saved. And then he got the call to ministry, and he said to the Lord, he says, don't know if you noticed or not, but I have cerebral palsy, so being in ministry, you might want to reconsider this. And so a little bit later, God spoke louder and said, I want you to be an evangelist for me. And so he said, okay, Lord, but you've got to help me. But he persevered. His sister made sure he got schooling. And then he decided to go to college. And people started telling him, you'll never make through college. You can't do that. You got cerebral palsy. He says, I want you to know. He says, I crammed a 4-year degree into 5. And so he got through that. Then they started to tell him, you'll never find a wife because who's going to want you? And you can't provide for a woman, you know. He says, I have a beautiful wife that stays with me and supports me. And he said, I told her if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. He's got a wonderful sense of humor. If you ever hear him, wow. So then they said, well, you'll never have children. You don't want to have children. I mean, you know. He says, I proved them wrong 4 times. And somebody said, are they normal? And he said, what's normal? He says, I'm looking at some of you and I'm wondering what's... So, but through his handicap, he keeps saying, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? He's trying to get the church to, wake up. You able-bodied people sitting listening to him instead of doing what God wants them to do. So he has persevered, and he's still going as far as I know. They have his life story testimony on YouTube, and it's back when he was in his 30s, and it's a little bit dated, but he's a good one for inspiration. So that's some of the individuals that have persevered. How about nations that have persevered? How about Israel? Israel became a nation in 1948. The Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? And it was. And they immediately went to war. And for the last 70 years, they've always been living under the threat of war. If you ever see a map of Israel, you see all the hostile nations around them. And those nations want to, they say that, oh, you're in our territory and this and that. You see all these huge nations, and Israel's a little dot in the middle. They want to snuff it out. But Israel has persevered. And pray for Israel, pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. He's going through the same kind of stuff that our leaders in this country are, opposition and things. So, and that brings us to our country. Founded as a Christian nation with biblical influence in our founding documents, which today our Christian heritage is under attack. And I have some examples here from a guy named Kelly Shackelford. He, let's see, on the next page I have what his outfit is called. Okay, First Liberty Institute. I have my... My undexterous fingers can't turn pages. These are things that have been going on in our nation. And some of these are, we've already heard about, like there was a pastor in Texas that had his sermons subpoenaed. Another one was the Christian Bakery in Oregon. Fined $135,000 and business bankrupted. They were ordered by the judge not to speak publicly about their beliefs. The city of Dallas, Texas, trying to shut down a synagogue. A nursing home has a piano, but all Christian music is banned, and they are forbidden to hold a Bible study. 5-year-old told not to pray in school. Senior citizens threatened with meals being taken away because they were praying over them, since the meals were government funded. And they always say separation of church and state. And if you get educated on where that came from, that is the biggest lie that has tried to paralyze the church. David Barton, Wall Builders, is a good resource to study on that. He even had a book called The Myth of Separation. The next examples, I have a little few more on here, and these are the ones headed for the Supreme Court this year. Most years see about one religious discrimination case to the Supreme Court, but this year there are 6 so far. And they're only the ones from First Liberty Institute. There's a former Marine and a high school football coach, Coach Kennedy, fired for praying with his team, which he had done for 7 years. The school district sent a letter forbidding anything that even looks religious. The Ninth Circuit Court ruled that coaches are not allowed to pray if anybody can see them. And then there's another story. This has been in the news for a while, but apparently it's going to the Supreme Court this year. 100-year-old war memorial, a big cross, was financed by mothers who lost sons in World War I, and it was ruled to be removed since it's in the shape of a cross. And one of the big problems there, if they succeed in getting rid of that, it's in the same area as Arlington National Cemetery. So you can imagine what they want to do next. A school called Livingston Christian School was forbidden to exist in the church that started the school. So they went to the city council and said, where can we locate the school? They said, nowhere in city limits. We don't want a Christian school in the city limits. I'm not sure. He just said it was Livingston Christian School. So I might have to, I don't know whether that's, yeah. This Kelly Shackelford was on Gateway Church last Sunday night, and we watched him, and he he was laying all this stuff out. A retired Air Force veteran, Oscar Rodriguez, he was part of a flag-folding ceremony, and he always gave a speech giving God the glory. So he was asked by a friend who was retiring for him to do that at his private retirement party. And he said he would sure be glad to do that. When he did that, before he even got started, he was forcibly removed by uniformed men because he planned to mention God. These are going on in our country. Cases in two different states deciding if county commissioners should be allowed to open with prayer. What business is it of theirs? And the last one really blew me away. Some woman named Marianne Schwartz, I'm not sure her last name Schwartz, it was something like that, was told by police she could not pray in her own home. How would they even, First Liberty Institute takes on cases like this, especially when people can't afford to counsel. He has it structured. He said a lot of places they hire lawyers and stuff, where he goes to these different areas and he finds the best lawyers he can find, and he says, would you like to donate some time to a good cause? And tells them what it's about. And he says most of them say, I've been waiting to do something like that. So that way, the lawyers know the people, they know the area, the judges usually know the lawyer, and he said, we have a 90% success rate. So, but he makes the point how important it is for people to choose to persevere. If the coach, for instance, chose to hide his faith, there would be no precedent to fight for. And another freedom is lost without a fight. Each of these cases, Christians are persevering, taking personal responsibility to keep our freedoms alive in our own country. And Shackelford says the attacks on our faith have increased dramatically. So the obvious question, why would anyone care if people pray? We are not forcing our beliefs on anyone, we're making others pray. But then this brings out the point, we have this enemy that's ruthless in trying to erase God from everything. So Abraham Lincoln said, the world has never had a good definition of liberty, and it seems we really need one. He said there's two really different definitions. One is the right of each man to do as he pleases with himself and the product of his labor. That's the one we go by. The other one is the right of someone to do as they please with other men and the product of someone else's labor. That's socialism. But they still call it liberty. So what does God say? 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. That verse started the idea that true liberty is an individual responsibility. God calls each of us to himself, challenges us to look higher than a hot dog and a day off work, to be free to worship God. Thomas Jefferson was given a job to write a Declaration of Independence with this thought in mind. Government is to be of the people, flowing from the spiritual liberty and blessed assurance brought by Jesus at Calvary. This is why we sing God Bless America instead of Government Bless America. The 56 men who signed that declaration understood that the liberty was purchased by Christ, and our first freedom is freedom to worship God. The signatures on the Declaration of Independence were their statement of faith, as well as their death warrant. We are the only nation on earth whose founding document says our rights come from God. This is a major reason that evil fights so hard against God. If evil can remove God, then rights come from the government, which evil men can control. There was a survivor from Czechoslovakia explained that no one expected communism to take over their country, but it happened. The government took away freedom to worship, and the loss of other freedoms came shortly after. Freedom to worship is the key freedom that holds everything else together. In Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities of the air. We might add airwaves and get a better picture of the battle. It's so easy to listen to the loudest voices on the airwaves, but are they speaking those things that will bring spiritual and earthly liberty? We each will be commended by Christ on the last day if we persevere against the present shortcomings of our culture. The incredible liberty that we have is our individual responsibility to keep and pass on to generations to come. Will our descendants in 200 years still read the Declaration of Independence and understand that true liberty comes from God? Another more subtle reason to persevere is, while living in relative peace and quiet as we do in this area, is distraction. We have so many things that can take our attention. Sports, recreation, and entertainment, just for examples. It's so easy to forget the things that God wants to do through us. None of those things are wrong, but when they take the place of God, they're not right. Again, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. When Jesus returns to find if there is still faith on the earth, I want to be found on the field of battle with a sword in my hand. Please don't let any of us be found in the stands waving pom-poms. And with that, I wanted to bring those people up that I talked about praying for. We need to persevere in prayer for people. So these people that were in this accident down in South Carolina, Lord, we just lift them to you, Lord, and we lift Maria that's going through back surgery today. We lift their loss and their unplanned delay coming home from vacation. And we just speak healing mercy to those people, Lord, because you're a great God. They're trusting in you, and I thank you for that. So we lift them to you. We join with them in prayer this morning. And for Jack and Hilda McConville, Lord, you know what they're going through, and all these health situations and the transition of life that they're going to be facing. And you're also with their daughter and that her family while they are staying there, and you know, you need to pray for the caretakers as well as the people being cared for, because it's a strain on those people. So we bless Jack and Hilda and Christina and her family, Lord. We bless them with your presence today, that they would be lifted up and not discouraged, and they could persevere through those things. We pray for our friends Chris and Nikki as they minister with Joan Hunter, as their ministry takes off, and we thank you for blessing what you have started in their lives, Lord. And last but not least, we pray for our country. We pray that this division and hatred and discord would cease, Lord God. We speak destruction to the plans of the enemy, and we just ask your favor that this nation would once again be one nation under God. Yeah, I guess Kathy's got a hip problem that needs replaced. So we bless her today with healing, with the power of God in her body, Lord, that she would have the recovery, the restoration that she needs. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you this morning. And I bless the people that came out this morning and the ones that helped with the sound, and just you've been such a good God, Lord, and you continue to be that way. We honor you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.